And tonight, in the mind of history, I thought it would be proper and appropriate if we look topically. In other words, I'm just going to read a passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to stay there, but I'm going to take a topic from this passage in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, a very familiar passage to all of us. And hopefully we can put us in the mind of the importance of history. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." And I want to look at the theme tonight, history, a bridge to unshakable faith. History, a bridge to unshakable faith. Black History Month was initiated by Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who said, "Those who have no record of what their forebears have accomplished lose the inspiration which comes from the teaching of biography and history." And I would suggest to us that God uses history to support, sustain, and inspire faith. And when we talk about history, what I'm talking about is factual events of the past. History is not faith, but faith is helped by history. And I want us to see tonight that history is a bridge, a link, an instrument, a medium for developing unshakable faith. And I want to look at three historical events from the Scripture to help us with this idea of history being a bridge to unshakable faith. First, I want us to see David, the shepherd boy. Brother John, I can't even think of his last name. Tillman, Brother Tillman did a beautiful job in helping us with David when he talked about unshakable faith. And I wanted just to pull a little bit from that passage. How is it that David, in the face of a 9 foot, 10 inch giant, could, without hesitation, know that he would bring him to his knees? I just believe David looked back at history, factual past events that occurred in his life. And when he looked back at his history, he knew that this was just another opportunity for God to show up and to show out. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, when Goliath came to the Israelite army and challenged them and said, "Well, I want to see a man who would be able to bring me down, so to speak," David says in verse number 29, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Because there were those who, when he accepted the challenge, they were a kind of hating on David. They said, why would you go up before this great Goliath? In verse number 30, he said, then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. And when he spoke, and now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. He was not complimentary to David about how young he was. He saw that as a negative against him. Then David said, I lost my place. Where am I? 34, that's it. And David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Let me give you a history lesson, Saul. I used to keep my father's sheep. And whenever there was trouble with the flock, I went out. And watch the Bible says in verse number 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Every now and then, we got to look back at history and see that it was God who brought us out of insurmountable obstacles. In the face of what seemed overwhelming, we got a history that says God was with me back then and God will be with me now. And it doesn't matter how young or old you are. Some people think because you're young, you don't have a history with God. You can be 10 and have a history with God. It was God who was able to bring you through your parents' divorce. Look back and see that it was God who helped you when you didn't know how to answer the questions right. God was with you. Watch what he says. God brought you through mama's death and daddy's death. When you had surgery, it was God who brought you back to your place of good health. Tell me, what is it that God cannot do for his people? And we need to make sure we have a history book. You need to know that your God is the one who has a factual record. It's not no fairy tale and a well-devised fable of the events that have occurred in the Bible. That's real. David could look back and see what really happened and know that he could face Goliath without trembling in his boots because he knew the God who helped him with a bear and helped him with a lion. I want you to see another one. I'm going to hopefully get done here. Nehemiah. It seems in Nehemiah chapter 9, when the people were coming back from captivity. They came back in three phases from exile. And Nehemiah is reportedly a part of the third phase. And in Nehemiah 8 and Nehemiah 9, the Bible says in verse number 1 of Nehemiah 9, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel assembled with fasting and sackcloth with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. They stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of God. They did this for 1/4 of the day, and for another 1/4, they confessed and worship the God, the Lord their God. We get tired after 1 hour, but for the 1/4 of a day, half the day. That's not my lesson, but that was good that was in there. And the Bible says that they did that. And in verse number 5, the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Benai, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, Pathahiah, y'all know them, said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Why should they stand up and praise God like they were praising God? He said, let me give you a history lesson. Blessed be the glorious name which is exalted above all blessings and praise, for you alone are the Lord. He took them back to Genesis. You made the heavens and the earth. He walks them through creation. Oh, you just got to read the whole chapter. And then he walks them through creation. And then he tells them about what God did with Abram. Changed his name to Abraham. This is not something that he made up. These are historical, factual events. And watch now. He says, now I'm going to take you through what Abraham did. Then when we went into Egyptian bondage, God saw and heard our afflictions and brought us out. He said, not only let me give you some more history. God gave us a law. God brought us in the wilderness. In verse number 21, he said, we were there 40 years. He sustained us in the wilderness. We lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. See, what you got to do is go back to history and see what your God has done for you. So he said, let me walk you through that. God gave you a law and brought you through the wilderness. He gave them the promised land. Then he gave them judges. He has taken them all through their history. He brought them in and he exiled them. Then he returned them. You just read it. We ain't got time to go through it all, but watch the conclusion. Verse number 36, he says, here we are, servants today. And the land that you gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, we are servants in it. And it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us. In other words, we are back in our land, but we don't have any power. And it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us. Because of our sins, also they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, our priests, and seal it. In other words,
He said, we look back over our history and we saw how wretched that we were, and we deserve everything that we got. God, you've still been just to us. But yet, even though we are in our own land and we are now being servants in this land, we are committed to serving you. I need to use this to tell us we got to be faithful servants and serve God faithfully because of his historical workings in this church. When you look at the history of Greenville Avenue, started on a house on Campanella, God was with us. Went to a school on Towns and Schroeder, but God was with us. Moved to Willowdale, but God was still there. You got to know your history to see that God is still with you. Went to Hamilton Park on Forest Lane, and God brought us to Greenville Avenue, and God has been with us and continues to be with us. But we need to make sure that we are always with him. Because God historically has brought his people. So that's why we got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. But then there are sometimes when people will have knowledge of history and not develop an unshakable faith. You remember Stephen? Stephen was accused in Acts chapter 6 of blasphemy. And Stephen stood there and went toe to toe with the elders, Pharisees, high priests, addressed them, and he told them about the God of their fathers and how Abraham came out of the land of Ur the Chaldees and went into the land of Canaan, showed them how God was with him, showed them about the patriarchs in Egypt, and told them about God's deliverance by Moses, and told them about how Israel rebelled against God. And the Bible says he told them who God's true tabernacle was. And he said about them in verse number 51 of Acts 7, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your hearts and ears, you've always resisted. You got a history of resisting the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. He's saying you took Jesus and you killed him, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He came under divine instruction. And if you look at Stephen's sermon and you look at Peter's sermon, they're just about the same in content. And the Bible says in verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 2, when they heard the same condemnation of killing Christ, they responded in obedience of faith. But these individuals, hearing the same condemnation that Peter preached at Pentecost, when they hear it, they gnash their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Eyewitnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay charge them with this sin. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Some people are going to hear about the history, about what God did, the factual information about his goodness and his creation and his power, and they will not want to hear about what God has done. They will respond and reject those facts and events. Because that lets me know faith remains a choice. You got to choose to use your history to build a bridge. It doesn't happen automatically. You got to look back and see what God has done and tell yourself we can go a little further. We can do a little better because God has been with us in the past. And ain't no way he'll stop in the future. Not only am I inspired through biblical history, but I look at the history in our brotherhood. I see men and women who have given their lives for the cause of Christ. I think about G.P. Bowser. This man was trained as a Methodist preacher, learned 5 languages, converted to New Testament Christianity by a slave, ex-slave named Sam Davis. Started schools, and his major concern was about having a Christian periodical and a Christian school, and in 1902 started the Christian Echo. 1907, he started a Christian school in the Jackson Street congregation. In 1909, he started Silver Point Christian Institute, Southern Practical Institute. He is considered the father of Christian education among African American churches of Christ. Then his wife is also a historical bridge that we can use. Sister Bowser, considered the first lady of Christian education. Now, I don't know if they're going to say this tonight, but you need to know it. Young people, you need to know your history. Sacrificed immeasurably in support of her husband's dream of Christian education. She was a matron and a laundress and cooked for students at all of Bowser's schools, and she sacrificed above measure. Then there was Marshall Keeble. This great man didn't even have an education beyond the 7th grade. But for more than 50 years, he preached 3 times on Sunday. And each night through the week, and people came black and white to hear this man of God proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was a fierce debater, and without a doctorate degree, became the president of Nashville Christian Institute. Baptized between 40 to 50,000 persons during his ministry and established congregations all across this nation. I'm talking about these are bridges to unshakable faith. Unshakable faith. Annie Tuggle, this woman here, raised a Methodist. She obeyed the gospel at age 17. One of the first students at Silver Point Christian Institute in 1907. Taught at the Southern Practical Institute in 1920. And one of her students was R.N. Hogan. Authored 2 books, ministers and song leaders of the Church of Christ and another world wonder. This great woman was a bridge to unshakable faith. R.N. Hogan, I know he's a household name. He was known as the boy preacher, traveled with Brother G.P. Bowser and established what would be Figueroa Church of Christ. He was a fierce debater, author, gospel preacher, known as a walking Bible. Didn't have all of these degrees and can quote more scripture than us, those of us who have them. One of the founding fathers of Southwestern Christian College. And there, J.S. Winston. Brother Winston obeyed the gospel at 12 years old, married Mazetta Bridges, served as minister of the University Church of Christ. He was a staunch advocate for qualified church leadership. Everywhere he went, he talked about having elders, deacons, evangelists, teachers, administrators. He wanted the church to be organized as the scripture taught. Troubleshooter for those congregations who were in trouble. In 1982, he established the J.S. Winston Sound Doctrine Foundation. He is founder, founding father of Southwestern Christian College. Then Dr. Jack Evans, a native of Houston, he attended Nashville Christian Institute and Southwestern Christian College, served as dean of the school, and became the first black president of Southwestern. He is the longest serving president of any college in our nation. For over 50 years, he served as president, an extraordinary gospel preacher, debater, and author. History, you got to know your story. See, when I looked at some of these individuals, they came out of denominationalism. Many of them came from Methodist churches and Christian churches. But when you look at history, something got to go in your mind that says, why would they move from denominationalism and come into the Church of Christ? Something in this book, they read it and they understood that what they were reading was, thus saith the Lord. And many of the things they denounced, we are embracing and supporting and going back to. And that's because we don't know our history. You mean to tell me a man who knows five languages can't understand English enough to know there ain't but one church in the Bible, the Word of God? Can I look at these men and women who sacrifice for the cause of Christ and then belittle what they have done? They make bridges, made a bridge for me, for unshakable faith. For when I read their arguments, oh, and when I read how they use the scripture, I get more convinced that the Bible is right. That's because you and I got to know our history. Sometimes we got to even think about our personal history. Each of us has a story. Each of us has been blessed to walk with God. And you know that in your heart of hearts, it wasn't nobody but the Lord who got you through your children's terrible twos. You know it was nobody but the Lord who kept you in your marriage, who guided you and navigated you through your health concerns, and you look back and see that God has brought you mighty long way. How could I ever give up on a God like that? How could I ever stop following? How could I ever stop worshiping? How could I ever stop loving a God who is on record? Who is on record? And says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Peter said, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. It was a historical event. The resurrection of Christ is documented and it is solidified in history. It is the only Christianity, is the only religion that follows after a man who was not found in a tomb after he was put in there. 3 days later, he was gone. Somebody tell me, where's the body? Muhammad, still in the, they going over there to see it. Buddha, dead, and they going over there to see him. But when they go to Jerusalem, they go to an empty tomb. History has showed us that your God is super bad. Never forget. Never forget your history.
Amen.
And I appreciate Black history because it inspires me. But biblical history helps me to stand on a firm foundation.
Amen. I know that's right.
Can't be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what I know.
Amen.
That I know what I know.
Amen.
And if we can leave out of here inspired to know our history.
I know that.
And know it's going to be all right Monday. I don't know what you're going into Monday. You might be staying at home and you don't have no job. Whatever you're going into, your God has a history of supplying needs.
Amen.
Moving people out. Just trust in him.
Amen.
And never be shaken in your faith. If you're here, you're not a child of God. I want you to put your faith in not pie in the sky.
Come on now.
A reality that Jesus died, buried, and was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. I want you to put your faith and know that he did that because of your sins. Not for anything that he did, but in order that he might bring you into a relationship with him. If you're here, you're not a Christian, have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess him with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and go down in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin. You'll be a new creature in Christ. God will give you his Holy Spirit to help you, guide you, and lead you. And whenever time you pick up this book, you can read your history and know your God has your back. If you're here, you're a Christian, but you haven't been, you've forgotten. You've let those things that you first heard slip. Rededicate your life. Recommit yourself to doing those things which would be pleasing and acceptable to God. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing the invitation?
Oh, come. Do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. For sin, harden not your heart. be saved. Oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not? Why not tonight? Tomorrow's sun may never rise.